Good morning.
In carrying our theme from God's unchanging plan, we sang God's unchanging hand this morning. Thank you. Thank you for the Lord's Supper message. It reminds me that not only has God had a plan for the church and being bought with a price, but as mentioned, we were individually bought with a price. And so today I wanted to mention to us that we have been clearly bought with a price. Some ideas that I thought about in regards to the plan that God's had for the church, it wasn't an afterthought in his mind. You know, sometimes people believe that God failed somewhere down the line when there was no church in the Old Covenant. People longed and looked forward to see God's kingdom, right? We talked about God's unchanging plan and that the kingdom would be established. And that would bring us to understand the purpose and the reason for the church. That we have the understanding that through Jesus, in whom we've talked about this morning, and we will continue today, because I think it's important for us to grasp just how costly it was for Jesus. That, as you had mentioned, Matthew, that the cost of following Jesus isn't just coming to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him on Sunday, though that's a command collectively, yes, we're to do that, but it's an everyday life in recognizing individually what Jesus has done for us every day. So, according to 1 Peter, and again, when we're thinking about God's unchanging plan, before life began, what we see and hear and touch now, 1 Peter 1:20 says, Jesus was chosen for the task before the creation of the world to die for us. Before sin even began, God had this plan. And that stems to you and I. And why we even have the church. Why we even have each other to proclaim this message. This cost everything to God. And so the church has great value. And something I want to emphasize is we don't just come to church, whether we're 20 people, 80 people, 8,000 people, hopefully. But we come because God sees value in us and his church. And so, it cost, as we remember when we take the Lord's Supper, the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. So, the message is that we were bought at a price. And take a second to think about that. Bought at a price. So I have 3 points this morning, and I hope to convey this before God and you powerfully and effective so we can really, truly appreciate what we have. That Jesus, and we sing the song, he paid a debt he didn't owe. That alone should really sink deep in our hearts. And his price sets our values and how we live and what we appreciate, what we recognize to be righteous, true, pure, and holy as the church. And then the sacrifice, holding back nothing, because God held back nothing when he gave us his one and only Son. Jesus paid a debt he didn't know. What a powerful song. But I think it's easy to just sing it. But let it hit our hearts. So the next time we sing this song, think about it. He paid a debt he did not owe. Value is determined by the price a person's willing to pay for it. I think about this introductory. Like, people buy things all the time. But you only buy something if you think it's worth it. Food, or maybe going on eBay, or buying a car part, you want the best deal. But everything that God did, we think about, he was willing to pay our worthlessness the things that we separate ourselves from God from, the sin in our lives, that He would be willing to pay for that. Jesus paid for the worst of who we are. It's an overwhelming thought. God told Cain, and this is the thing I want to emphasize. We do have a choice in life, right? Because we have that ability to choose right and wrong. Many people don't believe this, but we do. In fact, examples, Cain was told that if he doesn't do what was right, sin was crouching at his door. Remember, and keep it in mind that Jesus paid this debt. He didn't even know it. From the beginning, sin was crouching at Cain, the third person to ever live's door. But he could have resisted the desires. It wasn't like God says, once sin came into the world, there's nothing I can do for you. He gives man the choice. And so God, and He sets before us, again in Deuteronomy 30:19, He sets before everyone life and death. The blessings and the curse. The command is to choose life, right? And live. Nobody wants to spiritually die. But it's the choice. God provided a way out of temptation in Corinthians for us. In chapters 10, verse 13. Again, giving us a choice to avoid wrongdoing. There's a choice in what we do before God each and every day. God knew Cain would rebel, right? He rebels. His heart and his offering showed a lack of faith. He didn't trust God. And he had a negative attitude. He was jealous of his brother. What's he do to him? He kills his own brother. Because his selfishness in his heart. And again, for us, God knew we would rebel in that freedom of choice and choose rejecting Him. And that's very powerful because we've all fallen short of God's glory. There's nothing new to this. But God withheld nothing to secure His church. He didn't spare His own Son. Christ willingly gave Himself up for the church. Yes, individually, but for all of us. And of course, most people reject this. Most people will reject what God has done. Maybe for fear that our evil deeds will be exposed, but I say why? Because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. You just never, we'll never be able to pay back God enough, only that we could offer honoring God with our bodies to show Him that we're serious about how we live our lives. That's the only way to show God that we want to do what His will is and serve Him. When He says in Colossians 2:13-14 that when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away by nailing it to the cross. And so, again, He paid a debt He didn't owe. When we come to take the Lord's Supper, when we talk about Jesus, the debt we owed has to go to before God and trusting in His Son. Jesus is the only way that we could have any of our debt paid. But again, this is why we love God. This is why we know the Son has died for us, because He's going to cover that sin. Christ's price sets our values. It says, pay careful attention. And again, we don't have elders here. But He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit's made you overseers. It was the Holy Spirit that made men overseers. It wasn't a chosen collection of men saying, I'm going to pick that guy. Though I think there's some eligibility to that. God chose men to care for the church of God. And the emphasis here is which he obtained with his blood. Notice how Paul says in Galatians 2, nevertheless I live, but Christ in me. And he talks about he was crucified with Christ. Here, God says, Jesus obtains the whole church with his blood. God's sacrifice determines our worth. What he did determines what we're worth. And so, what is the value we have for the church? This is the question I ask. How do you value the church? Do we care about what God cares about? He sent his only son to die for the church. Since God loved us enough to die for while we were still sinners, we value his church. We're to be imitators of God. In Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God. When we imitate God, we're understanding the value of what the church has for us. Why do we even come? What value do we put on God's church? The Christians do not belong to themselves. And I think this is really important. Yes, individually we come and we take the Lord's Supper, but collectively we're doing so much more as the body of Jesus. And so, yes, we are purchased. But the extent of, to exalt Christ, this is the whole idea. When we bring praises and glory to God, when we sing to God, when we take his supper, when we exalt Christ, we exalt his church that he bought. Because he's the head of it. He's the head of the church. Do we often think about that? That when we worship God, he's the head of who we are, his body, his people? Right? We are a people belonging to him if we're Christians. The purpose for us is to serve and bring God glory. Sometimes we'll hear people say, glory to God. Well, there's some truth to that expression. To bring God glory. Yes, from our lips when we sing praises, but from the way we live our lives brings glory to God. Honoring God with our bodies. How we conduct ourselves. Making his power known rather than to who we are. Right? Woe is me. Life is hard. Yes, it is. As individual Christians, life is hard. But we have the church that we can help and rely and strengthen in one another. Build each other up. That Ephesians chapter 4 book teaches that we're to teach and admonish one another. There's another one another idea. We have to do this. This is what God's plan is for his church. Our attitudes and speech, and I will say this humbly, speak volumes about how we value the church. Now, if we're critical, that's a pretty tough place to be. If we're critical of the church and its flaws, yes. But to say we love God is easy. That's an easy, I love God. That's why John says, the man who says, I love God, but doesn't do what he says is a liar and the truth is in him. There is no truth in someone, I love God, but he doesn't love God or his neighbor as himself. So there's some significance to say I love God with word or tongue. But actions and how we serve, our attendance, being together with each other. Do you really want to be with one another as God's church? Do you just come to church on Sunday because it's the right thing to do? Or do you really desire relationships as we're commanded by Scripture? Those one another passages. You've got to remember in the New Testament, there's something significant of what I shared last year in our message that we're to love one another. That's easier said than done, but there's over 270 passages in the New Testament that teach that we not only need to be together, but we need to practice those scriptures of loving one another, honoring one another, doing good to one another, offering hospitality to one another. This isn't just going to church on Sunday. This is something we need to work on collectively. So, the support for each other. Just supporting someone when someone's down. I don't know everyone's minds. Do we all know each other's minds? Probably not. But the mind of Christ is that we would be honoring each other and getting into each other's lives to know the next person's struggle. We know each other's physical struggles many times because it's emphasized. But let's talk to one another spiritually speaking too. How we're doing as people of God spiritually. How are we doing? Actively, an example, sharing our faith. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Or those things like that. And thirdly, the sacrifice holding back nothing. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15, it says, "For the love of Christ controls us," or compels us in some verses, in some versions, it controls us, "because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Notice that? See the unselfishness Paul's trying to convey here? That it isn't about just us coming to God, recognizing Jesus died for me and you individually, but collectively. There's that understanding of God's unchanging plan for the church, is that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and gave himself up for us. There's something about that. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we're remembering God's people, communing with him and the church. Our sacrifice is a continuing part of the price we pay to be in it. No one on the outside of God's eternal plan for his church can live in such a way that pleases God outside the church. It's so powerfully important that as a local congregation, our best friends need to be right here in this room. Right here. You're going to need to love one another locally, together, collectively, because people are relying on the truth that we contain here to help them know what the purpose of the church is. That's why we have a continual price to pay to be in it. God already calls out, we read the scriptures, he already calls out churches that are lukewarm and just going through the motion. We can't be in those shoes. And I want to encourage you, keep fighting the good fight. The Christian sacrifice is a living one. Every day, right? Romans 12:1. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship, honoring God every day. Why? Because as we honor God, we'll help other people come and honor God also. Loving the church must be unconditional, because God loves the church despite who we are. If God looked upon us and looked for all of our frailties, we'd be pretty much in trouble. But God loves us so much, despite all of our blemishes, and I put it up here, this is the perception, that we must have the same attitude toward the church. When I look at people, when we look at one another, we'll say it this way, do we look at the blemishes? Or do we look at, wow, there's something good. There's something good about God's people. We must have the same attitude that God had. Let us think about our lives as those who were bought at a price. And we're not our own. And that's the emphasis. In Christ's church, no one is their own. We all collectively connect together. We're the body of Jesus. And that's the plan God has always had. Always from the beginning, before Again, sin even entered. Our own sins being forgiven in Christ brings us together in the church. So the invitation, I pray, is simple. And the thought is, am I grateful and thankful for God's salvation and His church? Notice that, and His church. Am I really thankful that I can commune with each and every person? Are we doing this under God with grateful hearts and thankfulness for why we even have what we have? How highly do you value the church as God's plan? This was God's plan. Amazing, we get to participate in God's divine plan. The world isn't participating in God's plan right now. Is it a privilege to be in God's church, His kingdom? Do I have a positive attitude toward all of God's people, or only a few? Do I only collectively get with people that are like-minded and I'm really excited to be with them? Because those can cause division and factions, and we need to love each other as God does, unconditionally. The broad blanket, loving everyone in this room. Because if we don't, we're never going to carry it out to the world to help them to love. Think about that. That's why we always talk about, if you have an issue, deal with it properly before God and that person. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. If he listens to you, you've won him over. That's a good thing to be. Never want to be a people that closes your ear and be grumpy with one another in that way. How do we see imperfections in the church? Are we nitpickers? Or is it an opportunity to love more and not to criticize or to criticize? Do we see it as an opportunity? I'm going to love that person more than I ever have. Do we love the people over the discrepancies we see in their lives? That's the thought. And really, for anyone visiting, have you been bought by the blood of Jesus? He bought us with a price. There's no greater message to preach than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when we tap into that, we can begin to believe it, begin to understand. But the message is also true. God's unchanging plan and His message to be in the church is that we need to repent. I put it simply, repent and be baptized, calling on the name, washing your sins away. It can't be any simpler than that. In Acts 22:16, we see the Apostle Paul's conversion. He realized and knew what he needed to do. But only a person who genuinely repents and is baptized, washing their sins away, is saved. I want to make that clear too, and that would be for another time. But we got to be deeply convinced of entering God's kingdom. And that takes repentance and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. So if there's anyone here that is not a Christian, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.